Praise God. Turn, if you will, tonight to Judges chapter number 5. The book of Judges chapter number 5. And I just tonight want to share something with you, really just a thought out of this passage, and we'll deal with it. It's not my desire to be long, but it's amazing to me as we read and studied and began to look at this, how the Lord really showed us something and ministered to us about this. And I believe it's a great illustration and example of what we're seeing, sadly, today in our church, what took place here. But Judges chapter 5, and we'll deal with several verses here, but mainly one verse. But for sake of context, we're going to back up to verse number 1. We'll start reading there of Judges chapter number 5. Verse number 1. Joshua, Judges. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offer themselves. Now, I'm going to give you real quick a context before we read on, okay? And we'll say more about it. But what's taking place is, this is a song. What's taking place is that they have been delivered, they being Israel, have been delivered out of the hand of the Canaanites, and they have defeated them. The Canaanites, we know that they had, when they were told to go in, Israel was told to go in and possess the land. And sadly, instead of completely driving out the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, they begin to dwell with some of them and allow them to stay. But now they defeated them in battle, and the Lord has delivered them. And so this is a song of praise written by Deborah. And, of course, it mentions Barak. They both have a part in it, and so it's a song of deliverance. So then sang Deborah, verse 1 again, and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day saying, praise you, the Lord, for the avenging of Israel. When the people willingly offered themselves, hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes, I will sing unto the Lord, I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel, that offer themselves willingly among the people. Bless you, the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim was there a root of them against Amalek after thee. Benjamin among thy people. Out of Makar came down governors, and out of Zebulun they that handle the pen of the writer. Princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great faults of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why Dan remained in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his reaches. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us, while so often we've been unlovely. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity once again to be in your house. We thank you and praise you for this time together, for thy word, Lord, we need it. God, I pray that you would just help us tonight, and that, Lord, you'd once again speak to our heart. Lord, thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In 2009, Bo Robert Bergdahl walked off of his military base. He was an army soldier. He walked off of his military base in Afghanistan. He was captured by the Taliban just a some few hours later, he had chosen to illegally leave his base because of a disagreement that he had had earlier, previously, with his commander, his commanding officer. And he ends up essentially a prisoner of war with the Taliban for the next 5 years. And you may remember that story. When he was released by the Taliban in May 31st, 2014, he was court-martialed on charges of desertion. Convicted in 2017 for those charges. So what was his great crime? His great crime was that he deserted his post. His great crime was that he betrayed his commanding and his commander. He betrayed his unit. He betrayed his country. Much of the country considers him a traitor. The men that served with him had nothing good to say of him or about him or to him. His reputation is marked by shame and dishonor. Why? Because that's typically how someone that goes AWOL is viewed. But somehow in today's world, when Christians do the same thing, it doesn't seem to be such a big of a deal. They don't recognize the same shame and dishonor that comes from deserting their commander. When they forsake the Lord, when they abandon his church, when they walk out on the brethren, when Christians stop coming to the house of God, and when Christians step off of the battlefield, when they lay down their armor and stop participating and fighting the good fight of faith, when Christians no longer show up for service, and when they don't understand, what they don't understand is that ultimately they didn't quit on the church. Ultimately, they didn't quit on the pastor. Ultimately, they didn't quit on the people there. But ultimately, they quit on their great commander. They quit on the Lord. This is a sad result of this virus. Many people have done just that. It may have started out innocent. And they just want to be saved. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of empty seats in churches all around this country. We've fared a whole lot better than most, I can tell you that. But there's a lot of empty churches and a lot of empty church buildings. And in fact, I told you today that Barna Group's still saying 20% of all churches will close their doors within 6 months. Somebody has went AWOL. I'm going to preach tonight on that simple thought, AWOL. There's people that's missing. There's people, you look around, you go to where in the world are they? AWOL means to go missing many times without warning. We know AWOL is really an acronym. It's an acronym that it stands for absent without leave. To be absent without leave. It's originally, of course, a military term. And it's something that describes somebody who leaves their post without permission. They leave their post. They didn't intend to desert it. In other words, they never meant for it to be a permanent thing, but it became a permanent thing. You see, the thing that is preached, and you've heard preached all down through the ages about being faithful and being faithful to the house of God and staying in routine and all those kinds of things, one of the reasons it's so important is you need it just like I need it. But the other reason is this, is it's a whole lot easier to get out than to get back in. And what was not meant to be a permanent thing has become a permanent thing. We have some AWOL Christians. Some of the soldiers, when they go missing, some of them it's for legitimate reasons. Sometimes they're captured. Sometimes other things take place. And some of them have legitimate reasons. But many, many times it's unexcusable reasons. It's just simply a derelict of duty on their part. In our text tonight, we meet some people of God that went AWOL. It's amazing as this chapter breaks down. We'll look at it. Verse 17 will be our main text verse. I want you to look at it with me. This is a song, remember, where some are being praised and some are being shamed. It says, Gilead abode beyond Jordan. And what's the question? And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode not in his breeches or in his armor. During the early years of Judges here, Israel had defeated a strong enemy whose capital was in Hazor of Canaan. They defeated this great enemy, and in celebration of the victory, as I mentioned to you, this prophetess Deborah. And by the way, many people wonder, well, how come the Lord called Deborah to be a judge? We know there are 13 judges, right? And one of them was a woman. Because in that day, God couldn't find a man that was worthy. And that was a slight on Israel to say that a man worth calling, I call a woman. And Deborah was tough as nails. So Deborah comes in and she sees this victory take place with Barak. Really, Barak was called to do it. He wouldn't go alone, and so he calls Deborah in. And they go together, and they have this military effort. And Barak, this military general, he also had a lot to do with the victory. And this was a common thing, by the way, the songs and singing of celebration when they would win a victory or when they would have deliverance or when God would deliver them out of a battle. You remember Miriam's song in Exodus, who when God led them up over the Red Sea, and then Miriam in Exodus 15, I believe it is, sings that song of deliverance. You'll remember the song maybe that was written and was sung when David defeated Goliath. And this was a common thing in the Jews for the Jews in those days. In this particular song, there were some stanzas that was praising those tribes and their dedication. But then there was also stanzas that exposed and condemned some tribes that were delinquent and didn't help at all in the battle. And that's what we're going to focus mainly on tonight. Let's just look this back in verse 13 or 14, start at 14. We'll see some of the tribes that was praised. Out of Ephraim, there was a root of them against Amalek. So Ephraim's involved. After leading Benjamin among thy people, out of Maker came down governors. They brought people down from Maker. And out of Zebulun, they that handled the pen of the riders. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. And so there's a group of people that's praised all throughout this passage. But then there's a group of people that's condemned. Because they simply didn't show up for the battle. They didn't show up as soldiers. They didn't show up to fight. Be on God's side. I want you to understand tonight that whatever side that you fall on, whether you're part of the people of God that has stood faithful, I know many of you, most of you are, no doubt about it, you're here tonight, but whether you're part of that crowd that has been faithful, had extreme dedication in this Christian battle, in this Christian fight, in this thing of God, or whether you're part of those who see that you've quit, if you're part of the crowd who seemingly went AWOL, either way, watch this, either way, just like this story right here, your story is being written. And it will be brought to light when this thing comes to an end. I want the story of my life to be summed up by one word. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's still required in stewards. And by the way, who knows what a steward is? It's somebody who's managing something for someone else, right? And so listen, we need to understand, well, we've been given a great thing from the Lord, amen? We've been given a great hey, we've been entrusted with the gospel. Oh, yes. And it's required that stewards of the man be found faithful. There are three groups of AWOL soldiers here that God condemns in his word. And we'll look at them tonight. Sadly, our churches today are full of people that the Bible speaks about here. Lesson number one. Some forsook their duty for their residence. In other words, just stay home. Look what the Bible says back in your text in verse 17. Watch this. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Gilead's the land east of Jordan, where 2.5 tribes settled. These tribes never got involved at all in the battle. In fact, the Bible says they just stayed home. They abode. They dwelled. They stayed in that place. Well, they just set up roots. They didn't come out anymore to help. They just kind of kept to themselves and stayed there at the house. They weren't interested enough in being on the battlefield for God, even though God had saved them and delivered them out of a mess, even though he had brought them up out of that bondage and out of that persecution and all that. They like living in their homes and lounging in their homes better than they like going to war, better than they like fighting the good fight, So they didn't respond when the call to arms come to them, but instead they stayed home. Can I tell you this tonight? There are many people that's sitting in their house tonight on the Lord. Hey, listen, there's people that's cozied up in their recliner chair. Hey, I thank God for life, and I'm glad we can do it. I understand that there's situations that happen. I know that people want to be here and that some don't. I get that. And the ones that do usually are. But I'm simply saying that tonight, there's some people that maybe they might not be watching the live stream, but the reality is they ought to be in the house of God instead of in a recliner. They ought to be on the battlefield. Amen. What we see in our text is there was one group that just stayed at the house. They didn't answer the call. They came calling and said, listen, there's a battle raging. They said, there's a battle going on. We're fixing to have to go to war with the Canaanites, and we need all the help we can get. Can I remind you tonight, Christian, we are in a battle. In fact, I've seen Satan ramp up his forces in the last few months. Amen? We're in the fight for our life, and this isn't the time, listen, to tuck, tail, and run, and this isn't the time to stay at the house, and this isn't the time to turn on the TV, but it's the time to be present and be active in the work of God.
Amen.
They didn't respond. Even though God had delivered them and pulled them out of that mess, they got comfortable. I say tonight, when God saved us from the devil's hell, God saved our families. God's been way better to us and blessed us abundantly, way better to us than what we deserve. And yet, so many folks are absent and become AWOL as a soldier of God in the battle. Two sisters were playing together when a little girl by the name of Martha, 8 years old, she insisted that they play school. 5-year-old little friend Jenny, she wasn't the least bit interested in thinking about school, but the older sister wouldn't take no for an answer. She kept trying to aggravate her and bug her and wanted to play. Finally, little Jenny said, okay, I'll play. And then immediately she looked at her and she said, mark me absent. Well, like church members are.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll be a part. Sure, sign me up. Put my name on the church roll. They have no problem with being listed among the brethren, but don't expect them to actually come to church, amen? Got a preacher friend who was talking one day, and he said, man, I don't like it. He said, people want to make a big deal about joining. Praise God, they come to join the church. You know, he says, we've been looking for a church like this for years. And he said, they were so certain and they were so sure that this would be the place God would have them, they hadn't had to come back in years to check it out. Yeah, sign me up. Don't expect me to show up. Way too many times, that's the truth, is folks who just simply stay home. They don't come to the back. I want to give you a second thing quickly tonight. Some forsook their duties for residence, and some forsook their duties for resources. Look what your Bible says. Ask the question, why did Dan remain in ships? Who knows what took place then? It was commercialism. Right, that was business in the ships. That's what took place there. Dan was more interested in his business than in fighting the Lord's battles. Many church members are the same way. They're more interested in business. They're more interested in working. I get sometimes some have to work on Sunday. I understand that. But these are folks that won't close their business down, but they want to continue to have business on Sunday so they can. They're more worried about money and more worried about their resources and all that kind of stuff instead of being at the house of God. And I will tell you, the Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, I am amazed. I talked to some people this past week that just kind of counseling with them. None of them are church members, just different people that I had the opportunity to talk with and counsel with. And I had to explain to them, listen, man, you got things out of order. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things. And I've been amazed that when we get things in order, how not only does everything else fall into line, but it falls into line much bigger and much better. I will say, if making money is more important than fighting the Lord's battles, your business is too important. Too important. And by the way, I believe this, and I believe the Bible teaches it, we're going to see it in a minute, that when we do that, whether it be our home we want to stay in, whether it be our business and work we want to do, that God in his judgment, when we make that a priority over him and over his battlefield, it'll be destroyed. Look again, verse number 23. Look what they say. Curse, there's a curse pronounced on those who stay home. Curse ye the rose, what's just said, the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help of the Lord. To the help of the Lord against the mighty. I want you to get this picture. Please get this picture. Somebody needs to read that again. Now we say oftentimes, and rightfully so, that God don't need us, that God can do anything he needs to do on his own. But I'm telling you that my Bible says that the reason these folks, that a curse was placed upon them, that because they came not to the help of the Lord. Do you understand that, listen, do you understand that God has left you here, Christian? God has left me here to do a work for him. He's left us here to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. He's left you and I here to fill those spots. He's left you and I here to be present in this world. Hey, he's not choosing to use the dogs. He's not using the cats. He's not using the lost people. But he's using Christians to reach other people, to reach this world. The only influence that this world has, it's good, and for God, is you and I. And the reason, watch this, the reason that evil and wickedness is permeating our world and our society is because too many AWOL Christians. Too many AWOL Christians. Some for residence. Some forsook for resources. Notice the third thing. Some forsook their duties for recreation. The Bible says back in verse 17. Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in Shiph? Watch this. Asher continued on the seashore. Recreation. He's at the beach. Asher liked the seashore so much when the duty was called to come and do a work for God or to go to battle or show up for battle. I tell you, many church members, they always in pursuit of pleasure, always worried about entertainment, always trying to have recreation. I'm for it. Praise God. I'm ready to go right now. I mean, this time, we had no vacation this whole year. Nothing wrong with vacation. I'm for all that. But by the way, I'll say this. When you do go, we ought not take a vacation from the Lord.
Amen.
If I was at the beach right now, guess where I'd be? I'd be in church. We ought not take a vacation from the Lord. Nothing wrong with vacation. Yeah. Sad to say there are many. Paul warns Timothy that there are many who are more lovers of pleasure more than they're lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. These are those who put entertainment. They're running their children around everywhere else, can't get in the house of God. We can rest on the day I got off, so we're going to go to the mountains, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. I'm going to say this. Listen, God, listen, you continue to do that, and God, if God does not deal with you, then his word's not true. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:25, speaking of Moses, it says that Moses, that he chose rather to suffer affliction. Hey, battle's no fun. Hey, sometimes we understand we got to take a stand for God. Sometimes we got to stand for good and right against a wicked world. Hey, he says that he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Right. Now watch this. All pleasures aren't sinful. But all pleasures are seasonal. All pleasures aren't sinful. Praise God, I'm glad we can have fun and serve God. It's not wrong to serve God. Nothing wrong with that. But it's sinful when God's told you to do one thing and you do another. It's sinful when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That doesn't come with the disclaimer whether this happens or that happens, if COVID happens or some other whatever happens. No, it's simply a command from God. He says, hey, I can protect you. Fear not. And the Bible simply says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. And when we do that, it's simple. Now, if our pleasure doesn't do that, we're good to go. I want you to notice there were some things that were, there were some people, listen, There was some here that was committed to fighting this battle. I hope there's some people here not like this in verse 18. There were some people here, let's get still, there's some people here that was committed to fighting this battle. Verse number 18, look at it. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people, watch what they did, that jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. There's a group of people, the Bible says, that they were willing to jeopardize their life in order to be on the battlefield. While some people, many people, stayed at home. While many other people were worried about business and making money. Yet there was a group of people that was willing to give their life and risk their life to do battle in the Lord's word, to be present. Notice verse 15 and 16. This is amazing. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Even Issachar and also Barak, he was sent on foot into the valley. Watch this. Watch this little phrase. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great falls of heart. Look at verse 16. Why boatest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleatings of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there's that phrase again, there were great searchings of heart. What does that mean? Reuben wouldn't go. Reuben's one stayed back. Reuben and his tribe, and the Bible says, in fact, it's repeated two times to show how much it was a shock to them because Reuben and his tribe had shown. It says that for the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. They pondered it. They wondered about it. Those who did go fight, they couldn't believe their ears. They couldn't believe their eyes. They could not understand. The ones who were there, the ones who were understood the cause, the one that understood is there not a cause, as David said. And the ones who understood that the battle's great, the ones who understood that, oh, listen, you and I are to be soldiers for God, those who understood that, they couldn't believe the crowd that didn't show up. How could they stay home? They stood in awe and wondered how in the world, after all God had done for them, can they stay home? How could they abandon their post? How could they leave us to fight alone? And there are people sitting here tonight who wonder that very thing about somebody that's missing this evening. How can they abandon the Lord? How can they abandon their church? How can they abandon their brethren? And for what? Home? Money? Entertainment, and just your laziness. But God will remember those who have been faithful. I want you to go with me quickly. Verse number 31. Into this story. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goes forth in his might and the land had rest 40 years. This verse shows us the final praise to God and the long-term effect that victory would have. And here he says this, let all your enemies perish, O Lord. Let them all perish. But let those who love him be like the sun. In other words, let those that love God and those that show up for God and those that continue to go on for God and those that were present in the battle for God, let those be as the sun, be like the sun when it's at its best, at midday when it's its brightest. Oh, let it be like the sun in the middle of the day when it's the hottest. The whole idea here that's being said and what's being taught right here is that let those who truly love the Lord enough to show up, let them be as bright and as glorious and have as much splendor as the sun does at its best. I'm going to tell you something. A sold out Christian is a beautiful thing. Because a sold out Christian is a rare thing. We own things that are rare or precious. Makes them even more beautiful. Makes them more sought after. One of the things that blesses my heart as a pastor is in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of trials and tribulations. And what blesses my heart is watching God's people keep showing up for God. Amen. What blesses my heart is watching God's people keep on giving to God. Hey, listen, offerings are down all over the country. Personal statistics this week. They've been fairly level here, but they've been down some here. Offerings, and I'm talking about people of God continue to give and go and show up and be in the battle and be in the fight and keep on worshiping God. Amen. The Bible says, boy, that one that does, those that love the Lord, they're way better than the enemies. Tonight, I want you to ponder this idea of an amorphous. Once again, most of them that take off and leave their posts never meant to stay. It happened. Tonight, just come and let's ask God to help us always show up for the Christian day. Maybe somebody you know has left the battlefield. Come pray, they'll find their way back. Maybe somebody's here tonight, you need to re-enlist in the battle. You've been coming, you've been there, but you know, this stuff's knocked the wind out of you. You just need to re-enlist in the battle. Can I tell you this? The comforts of home ought to never keep us from serving God. Amen. Hey, listen, money and all the business ought to never keep us from showing up for God. Recreation and entertainment ought to never keep us away from the Lord and out of His battlefield and out of His fight. Sadly, all across our country, there are more AWOL Christians than ever before. Well, I get it, man. This thing comes to your church. Stay home. I get it. Hey, you're having a hard time with some kind of medical issue or something. Yes, I understand that, but I'm simply saying it's been 9 months. And there's a lot of churches that are still empty. There's people that's missing. They've abandoned the post. You have a post. You understand that? If you're a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, it's your responsibility to show up. There's a spot missing. There is a vacant, a void in this place. It's our responsibility to come in, to sing the songs, to fellowship, to help encourage others. It's amazing how self-centered we are. Well, I serve God and worship God on the riverbank just as good as I can here. Yeah, guess what? It's all about you. Maybe, just maybe, perish the thought, but just maybe there's somebody there that you could be an encouragement to if you were there. See, that's part of our duty. That's part of our responsibility. That's part of the battlefield. There's some people in the battle, listen, up in those military, that their whole job is to just encourage those that's out on the front lines. There are those in the battle, it's their job to just bring them water. It's their job to help hold their armor. It's their job just to be there and help hold up their arms. Well, I just do it. It ain't about you. Maybe it's about somebody else. If you're missing, there's an empty seat. If you're a member, it's your job to get involved in the outreach, and it's our responsibility to stay faithful and giving. While we stand for prayer tonight, maybe somebody's here and you're chomping at the bit to get more involved in the battle. So preacher, you're preaching the choir. If you come tonight, commit yourself to the Lord, whatever you have to do. Maybe somebody's here and